Hello and welcome to the StoneX Grains and Oilseeds Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner. Thanks for joining us today. I'm here as I'm a broker here at StoneX. I focus on grain and oilseeds, but here at StoneX, we have experts in all the commodity and futures markets. Just in my team alone here, we've got guys in energy for crude oil and natural gas, heating oil and diesel, livestock, dairy markets, interest rates, currencies. If it has to do with futures and options and the commodity markets, we certainly have expertise there. So if you have any questions for us, you can always reach me at 312-706-7610 or craig.turner@stonex.com. All right, so let's get into it here. Today was the WASDE report, the April WASDE. And right before we get into some of the macro market and WASDE stuff, a little housekeeping. I will be hosting a webinar. It will be on April 30th. So it's a few weeks away here. And the registration will be in the show notes. What I really like about this webinar, it's called Marketing Corn in a Low-Priced Environment, which also could be extrapolated to other commodity markets. But what we're going to do is look at, you know, why we think corn is going to be in a low-priced environment here for the next actually couple of seasons. You know, how do we go about determining that, which has a lot to do with stock to usage and the balance sheets. And then once we figure out what those balance sheets are going to look like, or most likely going to look like, you know, kind of possible price ranges we trade in, and then how we go about marketing. And a lot of the marketing strategies that we use are based on, are we going to be tight? Are we going to be adequate? Are we going to be burdensome? Because different strategies work better in different environments. And then finally, we'll go over those strategies with some examples. So if you need, just interested to see how it all works, or two, and you want to know what, you know, selling a call on, you know, either covered, you know, grain in storage or to try to enhance a sale, you know, why we sometimes will sell straddles to collect premium in a ranging market, how we use deferred contracts to take advantage of the carry, how we use some of the future spreads to take advantage in downward moves in the basis. There are some very interesting concepts and strategies and how we look at the market and how we determine where we think the market's going to be in this webinar. So if you or anyone that, you know, has exposure to the corn market and over the next couple of years could be very well be in a low-priced environment, kind of strategies you need to do to stay in the game and to add on nickels, dimes, and quarters to final sales prices, because you got to take what the market gives you. We got to be realistic about it, and you need to know how to effectively navigate, you know, and what strategies to use in that kind of market. So the webinar link will be in my emails, will be in the banner, and in the show notes of this podcast, you will see that web link for the webinar. Anyone can attend. If you're a client, we'd love to have you. If you know someone who might want to see what this webinar is all about, great. For our clients out there, I think it's great education. So when we do have these recommendations in the newsletter, you know that go to clients or we talk about on the phone, and we already have a common language, and you know what we're doing and why. And if you're interested in working with us, or if it's got passed, you know, the webinar got passed on to you, for those of you looking for, you know, help and advice in marketing grain and oilseed, you know, gives you a flavor of what it's like working here. And if you have in your account, you give an access to the trade ideas and strategies here also. All right, so let's get into it here on the macro side. Gold making new highs, all-time highs. Seen a lot of stuff in the business press about why, you know, I can't remember if it was Forbes or Fortune. I want to say it was Fortune had an article recently like saying that corn is at an all-time high and we don't know why. There is a lot of speculation on what's going on. Honestly, it caught me a little bit by surprise too, just to see Bitcoin at all-time high and corn and gold at all-time high, and silver isn't, but silver's kind of got its own little thing going on there too. But silver is making multi-year highs. And what exactly is going on here? So a couple of things. One, central banks have been rotating out of the U.S. dollar and into gold for a couple of reasons. One, after Russia invaded Ukraine, Russia basically had their assets frozen. And you can freeze assets here in the United States tied to treasuries. You can have freeze assets also in Europe that are tied to, you know, EU assets. And if it's not physical currency or physical gold and silver, and it's electronic or in the treasury, which has basically unique numbers, not kind of like a social security number, you know, linked to these instruments, they can turn them off or digitally. And I think that has put some of these central banks on notice that maybe they don't want to have all this exposure to treasuries, you know, if something like that can happen. So I think that is one thing that is going on. Also, when the IMF comes out and says the United States is on an unsustainable path in terms of its debt, our debt to GDP is at 120%, which is better than Greece and Italy, but worse than Spain and Portugal. And if you remember back to the subprime crisis and the euro crisis, you know, the pigs, those were the four countries that were the most worst off. And there was concern if they defaulted, they would just drag down the entire euro and it all split apart. And here is the United States with a similar debt to GDP ratio. That is not good. And when the IMF comes out and says it's unsustainable, it's not like it's some little small think tank in Washington putting out a press release. Like the International Monetary Fund is a big deal when they say that. So you're seeing this rotation out of treasuries and the dollar into gold. You're also seeing the de-dollarization of the dollar, the energy trade between the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. They're trying to completely cut out the dollar. And if you do that, there's less demand for dollar, weakens the currency, increases interest rates. Same thing going on with the treasuries, but them rotating out of treasuries, bringing down treasury prices, keeping inflation and interest rates high, or at least it's part of it. So they have that going on. Now that's the central banking level, which is adding fuel to the fire for gold. And we are seeing money coming out of the gold ETFs. So it's not the ETF that's driving the gold price. It's probably the physical sale and purchases of gold, if it's not the ETFs. Also, just in terms of like an inflation hedge and debt hedge, when you see the biggest of the big on the money management side, the BlackRocks of the world, they're buying real estate. In terms of like how much money they have and the kind of the scale that can come in with cash and put it into real estate, and you know they're not making any more of it. And in terms of a big major money manager like that, it makes sense. You know, they're not there to run up the price on first-time home buyers. They're there because they're taking a look at this inflation and the currency and interest rates, and they're putting their money into real estate. So you have that going on. You take a look at very, very wealthy people like the Bill Gates of the world. They're buying land. And then when it comes to, let's talk about an everyman, you know, where you've got a $10,000 investment account to, you know, someone who's very wealthy, you know, maybe not Bill Gates wealthy, but what would be considered high net worth individuals. They can always go into the market and buy gold and buy silver and buy Bitcoin, you know, through a financial account. And that's what we're seeing. When you combine all of that, we are seeing this, you know, this kind of money and interest into inflation hedges. And it's not just inflation, it also is a debt issue too, that people are well aware of. And I don't think enough attention is getting paid to it in the business press. It's starting to, but not nearly enough. So we'll see how this goes, but it's not great. That is not a great situation to have, especially when there's no real systemic risk on the table. There doesn't seem to be any real systemic risk on the table, at least not yet. So we'll keep an eye on that. So that's the macro backdrop, and it's supportive of commodities. It's supportive of gold and silver and real estate, energy. So we'll see how that continues to track. Now, I'm going to get into the WASDE, but again, we are having a webinar here. And April 30th, marketing corn in a low-priced environment. You can also go to, if you want to sign up for it, it's in the show notes, but you can also go to grainsandoilseeds.com. That's plural. Both those words are plural. Grains and oilseeds.com, and it will redirect you. That is my website that redirects to the StoneX webinar that I'll be hosting on corn and a low-priced environment. Basically, you know what we talked about in the beginning of the webinar, but how to evaluate the markets, how to get a handle on the price ranges, what strategies are appropriate for if we have tight stocks, abundant stocks, or burdensome stocks, and then going over those strategies. And you know, some of them can get a little complicated. Some of them are very straightforward, but it can be a great education on what we use, why, and when. So again, grainsandoilseeds.com. Check it out. Okay, so let's get into the WASD here. April WASD, usually not a big deal. And guess what? Not a big deal this time around. I'm going to open up the report. If you go to Google and just Google WASD, W-A-S-D-E, first thing that should come up is the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, which is what the WASD actually stands for. So a couple of things here. There are some minor changes. One, probably the most significant part of the WASD is how the USDA just didn't reduce Brazil's soybeans. And right now, the difference between the USDA and CONAB, which is the Brazil reporting agency, is about 8 million metric tons. I can't remember a time where the USDA and another major national stats organization, government-sponsored one like CONAB, we're that far off. So that's interesting. The USDA, maybe they think there's going to be more acreage. Maybe they think the seed technology and the farming practices in Brazil is just as good as the United States. Yeah, and the damage isn't as bad as, you know, some are fearing, which is what happened last year here in the Midwest. But something's going on. Or maybe it's just more acres. There's an expansion of acres. But something's going on where we're really getting far apart here. So that was my number one takeaway. So we'll see how that pans out. The other takeaways I had from the WASD today, on the wheat side, ending stocks went up about 25 million for all wheat. And so I was a little bearish, nothing crazy, just a little bit, a tad. But in the U.S. wheat by class, the supply and use, by class for hard red winter wheat, which would be the Kansas City contract, we did see ending stocks move down 5 million bushels, which is good. That's supportive. But what was not supportive of all was hard red spring wheat, the Minneapolis wheat. Ending stocks March to April went from 177 to 197. So that's bearish. I was pretty surprised on that. The Chicago wheat stayed the same. White wheat also increased, so did Durham, but that hard red spring wheat really increased from the March to April WASD on the ending stocks. That was bearish. So that was another surprise there. On the corn market, ending stocks came down about 50 million bushels. We basically saw domestic use increase, about a 25 million increase in ethanol. I think we saw a 25 million increase in feed and residual, but which is nice. You're not going to complain, but it's still we're still at a 2.1 billion carryout. Before we were about 2.175, and now we're about 2.125. So we're still at a very high stock to usage ratio that suggests corn trades between $4 and $5. And finally, we'll get into soybeans. And with the soybean complex, ending stocks did improve by 25 million. We did see residual come down a little bit, but the exports came down by 20 million bushels. That's not a shocker. We also had imports come down a little bit, which just means demand just isn't there. Soybean oil stocks did increase from 1.582 billion pounds to 1.627 billion pounds. That was not great. We saw the soybean oil market selling off too. So that was the WASD today. The next WASD in May is the big one. It's a much bigger deal. It's the first time the USDA will release new crop ending stocks. So we'll see new crop for the 24-25 marketing year for corn, soybeans, and wheat. I'm going to bring up, we won't see wheat by class, though, usually until July, but we should see, let's go take a look here. bring it up my grain table real quick. All right, so when we take a look at the new crop supply and demand, 86.5 million acres for soybeans, 52 yield. We add a little bit on ending stocks. Honestly, we could be up over 400 million now if we're at the, yeah, probably, you know, my book, we're right around 400 million now for soybeans on the new crop, which is a 9% stocks usage. For me, that means soybeans is between $10 and $12. And quite honestly, if there's no weather issues going on, we're closer to 10 than we are 12. And, you know, when we start to get towards harvest and this crop is being made on corn, 90.5 million acres, a 181 trend line yield, still add on 200 million bushels year over year to the corn stock. So what is that? 2.3, 15% stocked usage. Corn is a $4 to $5 market with it being in the low fours. Maybe high threes is a harvest low, and you know, new crop can test. You can trade around five or start the year off at five, but it just reminds me of when corn used to trade for majority of the year between 350 and 425, and you just adjust that for inflation. That's a four to five market, and that's where we are. That's what the ending stocks suggest. So going forward, what are we going to be doing? And we're going to talk a lot more about this in the webinar that we have at the end of April, April 30th. I'm going to register for that, grainsandoilseeds.com. That'll redirect you to the website. You can also just go into the show notes here and click on the link and sign up for it. But in my mind, if for the corn market, if you're buying corn, you can, you know, the risk of, excuse me, the risk of really going up higher here is muted at the moment until we get some kind of major weather scare. Otherwise, we're a $4 to $5 market. I would say on the farmer side, you got to use the deferred. You got to use the deferreds to sell, and whether that be December 24, December 25, if we're looking at writing options, playing bear spreads for old crop, you can probably use short straddles. But there's a lot of ways to add on nickels, dimes, and quarters for final sales prices. That is the environment that we're in right now, and that's what we'll continue to look to do. On the soybean market, there's less room for error on soybeans. But for the moment, if we're still going to be thinking 86.5, 87 million acres in a trend line yield, there's really no reason for soybeans to break out either way. And it's one of those situations where we're going to be selling the rallies. If you are a buyer of soybeans, you probably, you know, buy the breaks to 11 or 10.50 here in the harvest. But there's, you know, and with the summer rallies, maybe we shoot up to 12, and that's where we still see the soybean market. And there are strategies to market around that too, and something that we can go over in the newsletter and on the phone if you want to talk about it. In terms of wheat, it's a little bit of a different by class. Chicago wheat could get tight this year, especially with 6.25 million acres being planted. Spring wheat is going to expand, so that'll be interesting to see how that affects prices. Hard red winter wheat, Kansas City, they could use some rain. They're dry. There's nothing in the balance sheets that would suggest any kind of tightness in the Kansas City wheat. So I kind of see Kansas City wheat the same way, kind of marketing strategies that will use corn. You know, I could have easily, instead of having marketing corn in a low-priced environment, we could have done marketing hard red winter wheat in a low-priced environment. They're both going to have very large ending stocks. The only thing going really for hard red winter wheat's way is that the Minneapolis and Chicago are going to be a little bit tighter and can be a little bit supportive. So it's kind of where we are. As far as energies go, seem to be tracking higher. And for the livestock, especially live cattle and feeders, here's the thing, and I guess we'll wrap up here. The crush, about negative 200 on the board, very bearish. Packers are losing money. The good choice, the choice select spread on the cutouts is about a dollar. I can't remember the last time I've seen it that tight. That is also very bearish. I mean, basically when those two cuts get that close, what it's telling us is you know, the price differential between, let's say, what you would see at a retail level in a supermarket, which is not usually as good as what you will also, what you will see in at the restaurant and wholesale level. And with that price getting very close to each other, it's telling me prices are getting too high, people are eating at home, and there'll be a higher demand for lower cuts of beef, and as opposed to what you see on the wholesale and restaurant level, or the steakhouses, if you will. So there's just so much more demand for the cheaper cuts that it's actually it's basically the prices for that are increasing, and the prices for the wholesale and restaurant very high quality is coming down. So that's bearish. Those things are all bearish for the cattle market, and I think we're on the, unfortunately for the cattlemen out there, on the basically our fairly long trek lower over the next year or so. And we do have a couple of things that we can do here, whether it be LRP or using the futures and options market. I particularly have an option strategy that I prefer for the deferreds and also going out to 2005 than anything else. And if you have any questions about how we're dealing with cattle, please reach out to me and I'm happy to go over it. But there is a lot of meat on that bone, or I think at least there's a lot of meat on that bone going forward. So that is going to be the podcast for today. For the, just to kind of recap here, I don't think this gold rally is done. I think there's some real major underlying issues going on right now that need to be addressed that aren't. I think that livestock is now solidly in a bear market. And then for the grain markets, while there is some tightness in soybeans and wheat, we didn't talk about canola much, but canola for the moment is a follower for soybeans, and likely will be until we know more about planting and conditions for canola. So canola and soybeans both have the opportunity to run up and down depending on what's going to happen with the crop here. There's less room for error in soybeans than there is for, let's say, corn. And the wheat market is still relatively tight on the export market, but here in the United States, doesn't matter. It's so overpriced, it's hard to rally. And then for corn, when it comes to corn, when it comes to Kansas City wheat, we have abundant stocks. That doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon. And the strategies that we're looking at here for corn are going to be ones that are for burdensome levels of ending stocks. They're going to be option writing and using the deferred contracts in our favor and using the carry in our favor. And that's what we're going to be looking at going forward. And that's just the reality of it. If you have any questions for me, please reach out. Please check out the webinar, Marketing Corn in a Low-Priced Environment. When I have this, it's April 30th. The sign-up link will be in the show notes. I'm going to go over why we think corn is going to be low-priced for the next probably couple of seasons, growing cycles here. And then the kind of strategies you'll want to use in those environments, how to use them and why. So when I do put them out in my newsletter, or if we're talking on the phone, or you hear it, in another, one of the other communications that we send out to clients, that you know why we're doing it, that you're going to feel comfortable doing it, that, and when these ideas come out, you're going to understand the why and agree with them too. If you see the market the same way I do, and it's there for you to be more confident in your marketing decisions. Because once you have a handle of how these markets are priced and can see it on paper, what the real leading indicators are, you'll be a lot more confident in some of these recommendations that we put out. Because, sometimes people take them, but a lot of times people don't. And I think it has to do with education more than anything. So sign up for it, Marketing Corn in a Low-Priced Environment. It's going to be very important for us for 2024 and into 2025, barring any kind of major drought. So again, thanks for listening, everyone. Please feel free to give me a call, shoot me an email, and sign up for that webinar. And if you know anyone in the corn markets that can use help with their marketing, or just want to understand how these markets are priced, what kind of strategies to use and what kind of market and what those strategies really entail, because not everyone really understands option spreads and straddles and strangles and bear spreads and futures and all that good stuff. They should attend to this one too. So feel free to send to anyone. It is a webinar open to the public. My trading ideas and the specific hedges that we do around it, that just goes down to clients. But who knows, maybe if someone comes here and really learns something, they'll also want to work with us too. So thanks very much. Hope everyone is doing well out there. WASDE wasn't so bad, and we'll all talk soon. Thanks very much.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.